Welcome to the Rich Thoughts Podcast, where our goal is to glorify God and terrify the devil. Get ready. It's going to be a great journey.
Welcome to Sunday Night Live.
I'm Harold Herring, and that's my fine wife, Beth. Hallelujah.
And amen.
Amen.
God's good.
Since we began Rich Thoughts for Breakfast.
Yes.
And outreach 6 years ago, January 1st, 2013, we've had 2,204 daily conference calls. And 162 of those have the word success in the title.
I'm surprised it's only 162.
But listen to this. A total of 1,566 teachings have the word success in it at least one time.
I believe it.
So you would think that we'd cover that topic rather thoroughly. But God.
And it never gets old.
But God directed us to do it once again and from a little different angle.
There you go.
And I think that's important here at the beginning of a new year. So we're going to be talking about unlocking your success in 2019.
Hallelujah.
Number one, decide what you want. Decide what you want.
In Psalm 119, verse 130, in the Classic Amplified Bible, it says, "The unfolding of your glorious words give light. Their unfolding gives understanding to the simple, the childlike."
Hallelujah. Have you ever taken the time to have a planning session with yourself?
Yes.
A time in which you formulate plans for future success?
Mm.
Well, it's in your outline. One of our favorite quotes. Won't you share it?
I love it. From Dr. Seuss. This is out of one of his books. It says, You have brains in your head, you have feet in your shoes. You can steer yourself in any direction you choose. You're on your own, and you know what you know, and you are the guy who'll decide where to go.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. That's a good one. He has many good quotes, though.
That is a very good quote. You know, he got turned down 27 times before he ever published his first book. 27 times. Anyhow, that quote's in the outline of the teaching tonight because we think it's a very good one and one that truthfully, I strongly encourage you to read it every day for 7 days and get it down inside of you.
And
underline key phrases
means.
Make notes in the margin. So here's a question. Have you ever written down what you want to achieve tomorrow, next week, next month, or year? If not, January is a great time of the year to do it.
That's right.
Why not spend an hour or two this coming week and write down what you want to accomplish during 2019? In fact, you might spend an hour or two every day during the coming week doing that. Prior proper planning precipitates positive performance, positions, and productivity, preventing possible I could go on. I'll just stop. You get the point. J.R.R. Tolkien, the author of the Lord of the Rings books, once said, "All we have to decide is what to do with the time that is given to us."
Mm.
So the question is,
that's a big question, though.
What do we do with the time that's been given to us? Now, not only what we do with it, but how we take the time in the mornings to talk it over in two chairs with God.
That's right.
And that's important.
And that's what we've been teaching on.
And we have. If you've been listening to Rich Thoughts for Breakfast for the past 12 days, starting January 2nd, we've been teaching from this amazing book, Two Chairs by Bob Bodine. If you missed the teachings, you can catch it on playback. You can go to haroldherring.com and listen to the podcast. So the question is, do you need God's direction?
And
His answers? His solutions? Then ask Him while you're in two chairs.
And everybody needs it.
And everybody needs it.
Everybody needs His direction and guidance and solutions. Psalm 5, verse 3 in the Classic Amplified Bible says, "In the morning you hear my voice, O Lord. In the morning I prepare a prayer, a sacrifice for you, and watch and wait for you to speak to my heart." You know, the international version of Psalm 5, verse 3 says, "In the morning, O Lord, you hear my voice. In the morning I lay my request before you, and wait in expectation."
So point number one is decide what you want. Point number two really should probably be point number one. Determine if it's what God wants.
There you go.
Determine if it's what God wants. Philippians 2:5, Contemporary English Version 2:5, says, and think the same way that Christ Jesus thought.
Amen.
How do you put into shape what you think, meaning your attitude? The answer is found in
Hebrews 4:12.
Yes, it is.
In Hebrews 4, verse 12, it says, for the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. The point is the word of God will not lead you astray.
If we think like he thinks, if we focus on the word of God, we'll have the most positive mental attitude ever known to the mind of man. And really renewing our mind is really an exchange of what we think with how he thinks. And that's the real key.
And the more we get in the word, the more we start thinking the way he thinks.
And that's what he wants us to do.
That's right. If God wants us to prosper, and he does, because John 2 says, Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. So our soul is prospering, our life is prospering, our health is prospering, even as our soul is prospering.
If God wants you to be successful, and he does, you know, if you got a question about that,
look at Joshua
1:8.
That's right. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then, excuse me, thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success.
If God wants you to win every battle, and he does.
2 Corinthians 2:14. This in the Contemporary English Version says, I am grateful that God always makes it possible for Christ to lead us to victory. God also helps us spread the knowledge about Christ everywhere, and this knowledge is like the smell of perfume.
How does what we want line up with what God wants? If we're following his directions, then we will always and ultimately be successful because we're following his word.
Proverbs 16:3. Gotta love it. Proverbs 16, verse 3 in the New Living Translation says, commit your actions to the Lord and your plans will succeed.
As Jeremiah 29:11 says,
one of your favorites.
It is. God will give you the future you hope for.
Yes.
And yes, he will ensure your personal success.
Mm. There's so much scripture, honey, that proves what God is for us and not against us. Psalm 20, verse 4 in the New Living Translation says,
he wants us successful. And by successful, we need to make sure we understand that in the proper context. You can be successful and not have a huge bank account. You can be successful and not be an elected politician or a president of a company. So what you should do is talk to God about his view of you,
right,
how he sees you being successful.
Right.
What he wants you to do. Sorry to interrupt.
No, that's fine. And actually, it's very true. What he wants us to do is read the word and apply it our lives. In Psalm 20, verse 4, New Living Translation, it says, may he grant your heart's desires and make all your plans succeed. You know, honey, the point of it is may he grant your heart's desires. He's the one who puts the desires in our hearts. But go ahead.
But the key is for our desires
yes,
to line up with what he wants us to achieve
right,
in the kingdom of God.
Amen.
That's the real key. Somebody once said, when God throws something your way, catch it.
That's a good quote.
I like that quote.
In 2 Corinthians 5:9, in the Living Bible, it says, so our aim is to please him always in everything we do, whether we are here in this body or away from this body and with him in heaven. That's where we're aiming toward, isn't it?
Three, your aptitude, altitude, and attitude will determine your success. One of the greatest books I ever read.
It's a good one.
It's See You at the Top by Zig Ziglar. Ziglar was a master motivator,
yes,
author, and at one time was vice president of the Southern Baptist Convention,
mm-hmm,
big time Christian layman. In fact, on tomorrow's Rich Sauce for Breakfast call,
yeah,
as we talk about two chairs, we're going to talk about his son Tom a little bit.
Amen.
And See You at the Top, which we strongly recommend that you read.
That's a great book.
Among his other books. He even has a book, I think, called The Happy Christian.
I think you're right.
And I need to reread that again. It's been a long time. Anyhow, in his books, he makes some rather profound quotes. And I put them down for you on the outlines.
Just a few, because he has a lot of them.
It's not what you got. It's what you use that makes a difference. If you can dream it, then you can achieve it. You will get all you want in life if you help enough other people get what they want.
Mm-hmm.
Great quotes, thought-provoking, rich thoughts.
Yeah, he also made something along the line of, instead of standing and waiting for the elevator, you're going to have, the way to success is one step at a time. You're going to have to take the stairs.
Stairs of life, yeah.
That's it.
Yeah,
anyway, great quotes by Zig.
Before I give you this last quote that I really like. He has a brother that was also in sales.
Yeah, Judge
Ziglar. And he had a book for salespeople called Timid Salesmen Have Skinny Kids.
They were raised during the Depression,
yeah,
too.
They were.
Zig said
growing up,
yeah,
he asked Mom if she could. And he said, well, always growing, we were
poor. Always had enough.
We always had plenty.
Plenty, that's
he
it.
He said, because if I asked Mama for something else, she said, no, you've had plenty.
There you go.
Anyhow, this other quote from Ziglar I like. It's not your aptitude that determines your altitude, but your attitude. Actually, that's not the quote. That's my version of it. Quote is, your attitude, not your aptitude, will determine your altitude.
That's right.
My paraphrase of that. It's not your aptitude that determines your altitude, but it's your attitude that makes you somebody. Sorry, I got that backwards a moment. In other words, it's not how smart you are. It's your attitude towards yourself and others that guarantees your success. Booker T. Washington, if you never read his biography, you need to do that as well.
It's a good one.
But Washington once said, the world cares very little about what a man or woman knows. It's what the man or woman is able to do that counts. Wow. What you do is determined by what you think you can do, which is a reflection of who you think you are and how you act and react based on what's programmed into your mental hard drive. The word aptitude is defined as capability, ability, talent, readiness, or quickness in learning, intelligence. The word aptitude is actually found in several translations of the Bible. The most meaningful one is in Daniel 1:4, when talking about the Israeli children being taken captive to Babylon. And Daniel 1:4, in today's New International Version, says it like this.
Young men without any physical defects, handsome, showing aptitude for every kind of learning, well-informed, quick to understand, and qualified to serve in the king's palace. He was to teach them the language and literature of the Babylonians. Excuse me. Your attitude is what really takes you through the challenges of life, particularly everyday life. What kind of attitude should we have? We've discussed this, really. His. The
Say
answer, what kind of attitude should you have?
God's attitude.
That's it. In Philippians 2:5, in the New Living Translation, it says, you must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. So our whole...
See, if we have God's attitude, we don't have to worry about having a positive attitude. Because it'll be positive.
It'll be a proper attitude.
It will be.
Mm-hmm. Hallelujah.
Number four. Set your priorities. The late Stephen Covey, who wrote the book, 7 Habits for Highly Effective People, once said, the key is not to prioritize what's on your schedule, but to schedule your priorities. Covey also said, keep the main thing the main thing.
That's how he defined success.
That's it.
Keeping the main thing the main thing.
To be successful in 2019, Well, you got to get your spiritual priorities straight first.
Amen.
Keep God first in your life, not just in a passive agreement or, you know, because you go to church on Sundays.
Or Wednesday night.
Most of the time, or Wednesday night. But in your daily actions.
That's it.
In what you do every day. Here are three scriptures that we think speak to a proper assessment of our priorities.
Matthew 6:33. Can't go without it. This is in the Classic Amplified Bible. But first and most importantly, seek, aim at, strive after His kingdom and His righteousness, His way of doing and being right. You got to love the Classic Amplified Bible. It takes you right down where you live. The attitude and character of God, and all these things will be given to you also. And that was all the things that the Lord had just gone through and listed, all these things that the world's after. But this is the way to get them. This verse is really a spiritual prescription for change, as it contains the proper progression in our lives.
It does.
And we need to continually assess our priorities to make sure that they're right and they're in the proper order and on the right track for 2019 to become a successful year for us. You Googled scriptures on priorities, right?
I did.
When we were doing our research.
I did.
And almost every listing.
Every listing had Matthew 6:33.
Even on Google.
Even on Google.
But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. And it contains a proper scriptural progression.
It does. Seek ye first the kingdom of God.
That's it. Seek His righteousness and
all these things will be added unto you.
That's right.
So you have to ask yourself a question. Is paying off your mortgage a thing? Is having all your debts paid in full a thing? Is having the money to send your children and grandchildren to a proper university a thing? Is having a proper retirement a thing? Yes, it is.
Then,
seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and then all these things shall be added unto you.
We named it.
I love Matthew 6:33. We call it the Success Principle 6:33. That's what we call it.
Success Principle 6:33.
However, there's another verse which we really like when it comes to priorities.
Mm-hmm. 1 Kings, I love the Old Testament anyway. 1 Kings 22:5. This in the Classic Amplified Bible. It happened to be that King Ahab and Jehoshaphat were sitting there talking, and King Ahab said, "Hey, you want to go to war with me?" And King Jehoshaphat said, "Well, yeah, you know, I mean, we can look into this." And so all the prophets of Baal said, "Hey, this is going to be a great, you know, deal." But in 1 Kings 22:5, this in the Classic Amplified, Jehoshaphat said, "But Jehoshaphat said to the king of Israel, 'Inquire first, I pray you, for the word of the Lord today.'" It doesn't matter if you're going to, you know, a lot of people want to talk you into a lot of things, but what does the Lord have to say about it?
Before we do anything else.
That's it.
Anything else. We need to ask God what He thinks, what His priorities are.
Mm.
In fact, what's your first priority when you wake up in the morning? Is it to review your to-do list, to drink your coffee, read the newspaper, scan the headlines on your favorite news service? Mine's Drudge. If you're a coffee drinker, by all means, drink coffee. And by the way, have everything ready in the morning, so all you got to do is flip a switch. It calls being brewed.
Yeah, he doesn't drink coffee, but he knows I get it ready the night before, so when I walk out, boom.
For those of you who are married, you need to know it's the man's responsibility to do the coffee.
It's in the Bible.
It's in the Bible, because it says he brews.
Hebrews. Hebrews. Okay. Moving right along.
Okay.
Next time.
Yeah.
Next it is, though.
Next time's.
Next is spend time.
With the Lord.
With the Lord.
With the Lord. Pray, read the word, meditate. And if you have a rendezvous with your Heavenly Father and two chairs.
Yeah.
You know, it needs to be your first priority in the morning.
Talk to God.
Because if not, your priority's out of whack. My past. Before two chairs. When I wake up in the morning, I'm ready to eat. You know, first thing I do is go eat. But since mid-November of last year, Well, of 17, it's not my priority anymore. First thing is to get in the chair and have a conversation.
Mm-hmm.
If you want God to show up for you, you got to ask yourself, are you showing up for Him?
There you go.
And that's a real question.
That's a real question.
And how do we get from where we are to where He wants us to be, soaring high in His glory, honor, and thought process?
Amen.
We do it by setting priorities that can be established.
And then follow them.
And then follow.
There's one thing to have a priority, and there's another thing to do it, right?
Another way to unlock success in 2019,
yes,
is to protect your mind.
Amen.
Purpose in your heart that from this day forward, you will not allow negative, ungodly, self-defeating thoughts in your mind. The enemy tries to sneak one in on you, flush it immediately. And
smack.
I chose that word purposefully. Flush it immediately. Send it down into the sewage dump where it belongs. As a countermeasure, design a specific time every morning where you get into His Word and presence so you can work on your mental renovation. See, that's what renewing the mind is like. It actually means renovating.
That's right.
And when you renovate a house, you take the old wiring out, put the new in. And that's what we're doing when we renew our mind. There's an old saying that what you think about, you speak about, and what you speak about, you bring about.
And that's the truth.
And Scripture bears it out.
That's right. Proverbs 4:23. Proverbs 4, verse 23, New Century Version says, "Be careful what you think, because your thoughts run your life." Absolutely, positively, the enemy would love to control your mind. And if he feeds you enough negative, sinful images and things that are just going on in the past or even in the present, he's wanting to remind you of all the things that are negative and create guilt and just take over. But here are two scriptures we need to keep in the forefront of our mind. One is 1 John 1:9 in the Classic Amplified Bible. It says, "If we freely admit that we have sinned and confess our sins, He is faithful and just, true to His own nature and promises, and will forgive our sins, dismiss our lawlessness, and continuously," notice that as a grammar, as an editor, believe me, I love that. It's a present, continual thing, future, present, and continues to do it, continuously cleanse us from all unrighteousness, everything not in conformity to His will, in purpose, thought, and action. That's a scripture, I mean, that we're very, very familiar with. But
actually, if you look up the definition of righteousness, and you'll find that it really, part of that definition says exactly what that scripture is saying, that you have to righteous when you have and carry out His purpose, mm-hmm. His thoughts, and His action.
That's it.
It is a totally different, some people think it's living, you know, straight up. But there's more to it than that. Mm. It really is. I did a teaching one time on righteousness. If you go to haroldherring.com, type the word righteous, you can probably find that and find the exact citation.
You could really go into a whole lot more on this too, because it is not a matter of living for God. We could really quote all those scriptures, sure. And it makes me want to go into it. It's not a matter of living for God. It's a matter of letting God live through us. So, you know, works is living for God. Righteousness is letting God live through us. And that's where it is that, you know, it says we are crucified with Christ, nevertheless, you know, we live, but not us, but Christ in us. So anyway, we could get into that. But there's depth into that.
Yes.
This Isaiah 43:25, we love this because it gives people, well, what you need to know. Isaiah 43:25, let me read it first, the Classic Amplified Bible. It says, I am He who blots out and cancels your transgressions for my own sake, and I will not remember your sins. You know, the enemy likes to remind you of these things, and you can say, you know what? God doesn't even remember this because He has blotted it from me. So the enemy cannot use that against you.
He not only forgives, he forgets.
That's right.
And we would do that, you know. people.
Yeah, people will. But you know what? God is the one who counts.
That's also a good verse to personalize.
It is.
I am he who blots out and cancels Eileen's transgressions for my own sake. And I will not remember Eileen's sins. Personalize
it. Put your own name in there.
And I put it in the outline so you can actually personalize it for yourself.
Amen.
Number six.
Guard your heart.
Guard your
heart. That's a good one. Guard your mind. Next, guard your heart.
Now I realize that Proverbs 4:23 that we quoted.
I quoted it a couple weeks ago when I taught.
2 weeks ago tonight. You quoted it when you talked about it. But that scripture
is so good.
Has such impact on our lives.
It does.
When we really understand it. We really need to comprehend what that verse is saying to us.
Amen.
And
in the King James Version, it says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life.
As we've taught, the word issues is H8444. And it's really a real estate term because it's defined as borders, parameters.
Amen.
Your heart sets the borders of your life.
Think of it.
The outside circumstances don't set the borders of your life. It's what's in your heart that sets the boundaries or determines the course of your life.
The New Living Translation of that scripture says it this way. Guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. Now that is heavy.
It is. Consider this thought. Every time you have a rhema revelation from the Word of God and begin meditating on it, you're expanding the borders of your life. Every time God reveals you something to you in the Word, scriptures you've read, you're expanding the borders of your life and moving to a whole different realm. But on the other hand, if you're not searching the scriptures and the Word, then your borders are going to stay where they are.
That's it.
Where they are.
And a wonderful illustration that really is taking a balloon, a brand new balloon, it's this little small, and blowing it up. And then when you let the air out, it never goes back to that same, you know, it never goes back to that same shape. So as we're expanding, as we're getting rhema revelation and able to live deeper in the Word, and our faith grows, and all we are looking success in the face, because we are never going to go, we're the culmination of everything that we've been putting the Word into our lives through our whole lives up to this very moment. And we can go further. That's the exciting part, is we never have to quit. We can continue to go further in Him and have greater revelation and greater success.
Hallelujah. When we start talking about the promises of God,
you could get up and start running around the place.
His promises.
It's exciting.
What the Word offers, the possibilities for our lives, that desire can become a reality.
Hallelujah.
As we expand the borders of our life.
Amen.
And our understanding of the Word. I heard described years ago that the Word's like an onion. You keep peeling layers off, and you get deeper and deeper and deeper into it. And as we expand the borders of our life, you may find that some of those closest to you, are a little bit negative. Family members, well-meaning friends may love you, mean well for you.
They might be trying to protect you, trying to say, well, you know, I don't know if you want to get way out there and do all that. You know, there are a lot of folks who do that, who say, well, you know, I just am afraid, you know. But the thing of it is where God leads, you can't let anybody stand in your way.
That's exactly right.
Hallelujah.
That's exactly right.
So, as a countermeasure,
find at least one new friend
who's
positive about life.
That's it.
So positive that he or she could be your twin. You know, they could have been cloned from you. And to do that. It means, if there's no one in you ask, if there's no one in your life that you can ask, then when you're in the two chairs tomorrow morning, ask God.
There you go.
Ask God. Him to point them out.
That's it.
If he'll do that. We talked about that one day, one of the chapters on two chairs.
Are you my clone?
I am, baby. You're my best friend.
There you go. So you need somebody.
You do. If you don't have such a person, then make the acquaintance of one or more through MP3s or CDs or other teachings by
people that can build you up and get you going in the morning.
Build
that's
you
what
up
Rich
so
thoughts.
Much that when you take an aspirin, it feels better.
There you go.
That's the way you want to be.
That's the way you want to be.
This particular point here is critical for 2019 to be what you want it to be. Number 7.
Wowee.
Watch your mouth.
That's the big one.
Renovating a mind is like renovating a house. It takes time. In the process, you will find your mind thinking negative thoughts. That's when you need to tell your mind to keep quiet and shut up.
And your mouth to shut.
That's it.
The thing, too, about that is that, sometimes people feel like if the negatives are coming in my mind, I must be thinking all these bad things. No, not necessarily, because there's a lot of spiritual warfare out there that, kamikaze, as we used to say, thoughts that the enemy wants to make you think are in your mind. And you go, no, I'm not going that. I'm not going there. I'm not entertaining your thoughts.
On January 3rd, I think it was, when we were teaching two chairs, I shared the revelation that God had given me.
Oh, yeah, about breathing. Go ahead.
He'd given me a revelation about focus. Because my mind, and I'm sure many of you that way too.
Everybody.
Sit down and start praying, here come these thoughts.
Yeah.
Not necessarily negative or sinful.
Right.
But they're thoughts to break your focus.
Right.
On
what you got to do.
On what you got to do.
Yeah.
And the Lord literally, I said, Lord, help me with this. And he literally spoke to my mind and said, breathe deeply 7 times. And I thought, what? And I started breathing deeply. And when you breathe deeply, you can't think about anything else. It's just not going to happen. Breathing deeply is huge. It's huge. Made a huge difference and impact with me. And then on January 3rd, I gave scriptures about the breath of God.
Yeah.
And literally, as we were teaching this, it occurred to me that when I breathe deeply and God's in my presence, I'm breathing in the breath of God.
Because if God wasn't giving you breath, you wouldn't have any. So that's a pretty...
I'm going to do a whole new teaching on that.
Yeah, that's an interesting one. We're getting off subject, but it's very good.
I think it's important on this.
Yeah.
It is.
About your mouth.
Yep.
And your mind trying to take over.
Yep.
The first part of Proverbs 13:3, we were quoting it from the Amplified, says, he who guards his mouth keeps his life. That is... very
Can
good.
Can I just say one other thing?
Sure, honey.
I'm going to do a teaching on this too. The word inspiration comes from a Latin word inspire, and it's defined as to breathe in. To breathe in.
Wow.
Anyhow, a lot of stuff. Stay tuned, you'll get to hear the teaching. I've proven in seminars all around the world that the words of your mouth will always override the thoughts of your mind. Always.
So talk to yourself.
I tell people in the room, I said, all right, I want you, when I tell you go, I want you to start counting mentally to 10. 1, 2, 3, start counting to 10. And I go, go. I said, now say I'm debt free. They all said I'm debt free. And they stopped counting. See, your mouth will override your mind. And so sometimes if those thoughts are coming in, that's where you start confessing the word. That's where, I'm getting glory
when
I'm thinking about it.
You have a strong conversation with yourself.
Yeah, yeah.
That's it.
So you need to learn to encourage yourself by speaking the pure, the powerful, and the positive from the Word of God to yourself.
That's right.
And really, if that's a challenge for you, you need to, as a countermeasure, memorize, personalize key scriptures, which you can speak when the enemy seeks to download a nasty, negative virus into your mental hard drive.
And put them in, even if you have to. I know when I first became a Christian, I had to kind of write it out and put it in my pocket because it would be like he'd steal everything. And I couldn't even think of a scripture, not even John 3:16. So you know what? Eventually, though, it's going to get to where you are so used to it, your spirit just rises up and, chops its head off. after a while, but it takes a while. Anyway, the point is, like it says in Psalm 141:3, Classic Amplified, set a guard, O Lord, over my mouth. Keep watch over the door of my lips to keep me from speaking thoughtlessly. Wow.
I love the Living Bible translation of that verse.
Yeah, it's a bit more direct.
It says, help me, Lord, to keep my mouth shut and my lips sealed.
There you go.
To live victoriously, there'll be times to talk, and times, as the verse says, shut up.
That's it.
We taught our children that having the last word didn't mean you won the argument. It generally meant you lost the argument if you feel like you got to have the last word. But really, the last word needs to be held by the Lord, had by the Lord.
In Ephesians 4, verse 29, this is Classic Amplified. It gives you kind of a guide to, well, what your conversation should perhaps not be like. It says, do not let unwholesome, foul, profane, worthless, vulgar words ever come out of your mouth, but only such speech as is good for building up others according to the need and the occasion, so that it will be a blessing to those who hear it, who hear you speak.
Now, I have to be honest. I don't completely live my life that way. It's something I seek to do. I strive to do it. Yeah, I think I'm one of the most positive people you'll ever meet, encouraging and uplifting with my words. I don't use foul, profane, worthless, or vulgar words. But not all of my speech is always for the building up of others. And the Lord and I have conversations about that from time to time. Truthfully, I strive toward Ephesians 4:29.
I think we all do.
And that's my goal.
Is to get better every day.
Am I perfect in it? Nope. But I'm striving to. I'm wanting to get better.
Amen.
Every day.
Well, we all do in every
now,
way.
All 7 points in this are essential.
Yeah.
Excuse me. To your success this year. But I particularly want to talk about the last three, just to read those back to you. One, protect your mind.
Yes.
Two, guard your heart. And three, watch your mouth. You know, all 7 are good, but those 3 will help you get started great in 2019.
That's it.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. And we are, tomorrow is the, as far as we know, unless the Lord directs us differently, no.
Next to the last day.
To the last day of 2 chairs. But it is available, like we'd mentioned, on the website and the blog. So it will be there for people.
That book
who
may not
it.
Have a profound effect on everybody, but it did on me.
And a lot of people.
And I had a fellow who listens every day on Rich Sauce for Breakfast, watches on Sunday nights, my friend Will, our friend Will.
Yeah.
Who was here.
Yeah, he visited
3 or 4 months ago.
Drove from might have been
near Charlotte
net.
Here. Came for the teaching and then went back home. But he told his pastor about the book.
Mm.
The pastor read 2 chapters and said, I'm going to buy this book for everybody on my staff. There's a pastor now in this area who's an overseer, and he has 12 pastors under him. He bought one for every one of them and taught it to them. I could tell you other stories after that, like that, but it just...
God's been good about spreading his power.
And we've sold a lot, but we've given away almost as many as we sold. Almost. And maybe I'll tell you those numbers on Tuesday when we finish up.
Our members, our wonderful people out there who are very good to us. And we try to be very good to them.
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I'm pumped up.
Well, I like that.
I'm going to go home and write.
Well, I'll let you. I was going to tease you.
After I have some soup. Okay.
It's cold here.
By the way, check out this week's 2-minute video. Be a new one up tonight or tomorrow, I guess.
It's in a daze.
Also, if you've been blessed by the teaching, go to heroldherring.com. At the top where it says sow a seed, actually you're already there. at the where it says, sow a seed, just ask God what seed and have you sow. Do what
that's
he
all
says.
We ask.
That's all we'll ever say about that. I've made the statement for years. I'm not going to use the time I've got, we've got to teach, trying to build an offering. I know people who do that. That's not us. Never has been, never will be. Between you and God. Amen?
Amen. All right.
And I want to say one more thing. Happy six-year anniversary.
Oh,
6 years and 2 days to our daughter Abby and her husband Chris. Mm.
Amen.
I love you.
I love you.
Hallelujah. Well, until tomorrow morning at 8:30 Eastern, God bless you. Happy trails.
And keep thinking rich thoughts.
We love you. We appreciate you. God bless you. Bye-bye.